That's what this exact piece of earth looked like 2 years ago to this day, friends. And I don't know if your life looks like that right now, but what we're standing in now is just a physical picture of what God can do in your life. And when you're in trouble, you run to the church. And when you're in trouble, you run to the Word of God. And when you're in trouble, you listen to preaching. And when the gospel is preached properly, God can fix anything. Amen? And so I pray you put your seatbelts on, sit tight, because we trust that God is going to put something in your lives tonight that will serve you for the rest of your life. It's so good, it's hard to be true. It is so good, it is hard to be true. If you watch porn last night, you're in the right place. Because I'll show you that you can watch porn on Saturday and stand straight on Sundays. Eventually, God will ask you to stop watching porn because your conscience won't allow you to keep watching it. But there's enough grace in God to free us from every single bondage and every single sin. And when you have the worst Saturday in your life, you run to church and you sit under worship and preaching. And you allow God to build you like He built that rubble into this incredible building. This building doesn't wow me. It is beautiful, it is majestic, but it's just a picture of what God can do with broken bricks. Yes. That's all God can do. He just takes brick by brick by brick. I remember going into a church in Germany called the Frauenkirche, and at the end of World War II was finished, and the Americans went on a sort of a brutal raid at the end of the war, and they bombed one of the cities, Dresden. And they bombed the Frauenkirche, so they broke it to the ground. And it cost $1 billion to fix. The Americans are paying for it to be fixed. And I remember walking through Dresden and seeing all these broken, burnt bricks. And I felt God say, you're going to give the rest of your life to restoring bricks so that I can put them back in my building. And I don't care how burnt you are. I don't care how broken you are. I don't care how bombed you are. I don't care how bad you are. I pray that in this auditorium you will be restored by the Word of God, the grace of God, the people of God, the worship of God, and you'll be placed back in the wall to take your place in the temple of God. Amen? So praise God. Let's have a look. Romans chapter 5, this is electric. Therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to ask what's gone before. And this, so let's go what it says before. It says in verse 22, this is why it was credited to him. Say credited. Say credited. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us. Turn to the person next to you. Say for you. To you. Say for you. Say for you. And turn to the person next to you. Say for you. So it says these words were not just written to Abraham, but also to us. To whom God will credit righteousness. Say credit. Credit righteousness. Say credit. So I want to tell you today, you watch me on screen. It's the first time I've preached live in the Roman series. God puts a white sheet over me, and I've been credited with righteousness. When God looks at me, all He sees is Jesus. He doesn't see Rory. He sees Jesus. I've been credited with righteousness. When I sin under the sheet. I don't sin on the sheet. So when I sin, I don't dirty the sheet because that's what happens in Pretoria. Then we try and clean the sheet. We get handy andy. Then we get jicked. Then we burn the sheet. Then we sew the sheet. Then we take the sheet to a laundry and we try and clean the sheet. The sheet doesn't get dirty. The sheet is Jesus. He's pure. So when I sin under the sheet. And I want to tell you, friends, every sin is debit. But there's enough credit for my past. There's enough credit for my present. And there's enough credit for my future. And all I have to do is draw on the credit. It is called theologically imputed righteousness. So I get imputed with righteousness. I don't watch porn, thank goodness. It probably wouldn't be good as a pastor. But let's use an example. You watch porn last night. You're sitting here. Your conscience is not exactly clear. You're living in debt. You know you feel a little bit dirty. You feel a little bit dark. It was done in secret. No, you stand up straight and you draw on the credit. You draw on the credit. And your debt gets overwhelmed. And you are no longer in debt and you walk out of here in credit. It's called imputed righteousness. Then what happens, friends, the more I draw on credit, the more I understand what it means to be free, and then it's called imparted righteousness. It becomes part of me, and I start to walk out a holy life, but not by rules and regulations and some cross pastor at the front banging the pulpit and telling you to behave yourself, but by drawing on the credit limit, which is unmeasurable. You just keep drawing and drawing and drawing and drawing. And people say to you, you don't know how bad I've been. You say, you don't know how good Jesus is. And I keep saying this, when you're at your worst, God is at his best. When you've really messed up, you run to the church and you draw on the imputed righteousness of Christ. Therefore, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, say justified. I learned this word, and we've all got to learn the words of the Bible. You have to have a picture. I learned this word. I had nothing in common with a young black boy whose mother had died. He was estranged from his father. He went on a drinking spree. He got drunk. He had an accident. The police chased him, and he shot at the police. He was as guilty as? Guilty as sin. He was guilty, but we went to the same school. I had absolutely nothing in common. I was white, he was black, I was old, he was young. I was a pastor, he was shooting at policemen. And I got a phone call from one of my masters at school to say, he's going to court tomorrow, Rory, will you go and help him? I said, do what? He said, just be there. I said, why? He said, he's got no one else to be there. So I said, but what must I do? He said, just stand there. So I went into the courtroom, I was the only person there. He walked up the stairs from the cells. He had been beaten by the police. I put my hand out. I said, how are you, buddy? My name is Rory. He said, who are you, Rory? I said, I'm just the guy that I went to the same school as you. The charges were given to him. Bail was set at 5,000 rand. The attorney looked at me and said, will you pay it? And I said, what do you, he said, well, there's no one else here to pay it. Will you pay it? And I said, yes, I'll pay it. And I drove. And as I drove to go to the bank, I felt God say, do you know what justification looks like, son? You're in that dock. You're as guilty as sin. I've got nothing in common with you. You're unholy. I'm holy. You have robbed me. I've honored God. And I drew the money and I put it, gave it to the lawyer, and he was discharged. And I got into my car with this little slip that said bail. And the Spirit of God filled my car and I started to weep. And I sat and I felt God say, I did that with my blood for you. That young man got let off on a charge. He got let off on a rule called second chances. And I've never forgotten that story. And every time I get up and preach, I realize that Jesus got in his car. He went and drew from the unlimited credit source. And he paid my debt. And yours. And yours. And yours. And what you did last night. He paid that debt too. And what you're going to do in 3 weeks' time, he paid that debt too. And what you're going to do in 3 years' time, he paid that debt too. And what you're going to do in 17 years' time, he paid that debt too. And so that's why I never buckle when I do stupid things. I just stand under the grace and credited righteousness of God. And I draw and draw and draw. Until I learn how to live in victory that God has given to me. You broken, burnt, bombed out people. There's only one gospel that will save you, and it's the finished work of Jesus Christ, who has an unlimited credit level for your debit level. The dirtier you are, the cleaner he is. The more debauched you are, the more holy he is. Draw upon it, young people. Draw upon it. Draw upon it. And you'll learn how to stand. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Say peace with God. Friends, we just have to look at, sorry, we're not getting very far. But We just have to look at the history of the world in the last 120 years. We have First World War. We have Second World War. After that, we had the Cold War. Then we had the Korean War. Then we had the Vietnam War. Right now, Korea, all they do is they just march their missiles across them all the time. You just go North Korea, missiles. South Korea, missiles. America, missiles. Syria, war. Afghanistan, war. Taliban in, Al-Qaeda out. There's war, there's bombs, there's terrorists all the time. There's just war everywhere. They're turf wars, they're gang wars. When you say goodnight to your children, you say, sleep peacefully. But most people can't, because the war, friends, is not just out there. Most of the war is happening in here and here. And we're wrestling. And 40% of American adults are on antidepressants. Now, the opposite of peace is war. The opposite of peace is turmoil. The opposite of peace of mind is anxiety. And we've got people who are born again under the righteousness of Christ that are being tortured by anxiety. Say, I have peace with God. Friends, it doesn't matter any relationship around you. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. It's sorted. God and I are at peace. I have access into His presence. That word is going into the King's throne, number one, and number two, going into a harbor. So all your past that's haunting you, all your future that's worrying you, God brings it to an end at the cross, and He says, you've got peace. Yeah. Amen. Stop tossing and turning. Stop watching your shadows. Stop being guilty for the stuff that you did 10 years ago. Stop dragging your rubbish with you. Break it off in the name of Jesus. You have peace with God. We are not at war with Him. He is not at war with us. We have peace. Before you can sort any, you're about to go into Christmas. You're about to meet with your parents and your in-laws. Most of them should be medicated. You're about to have all hell break loose at family Christmas times because we don't have peace about something that happened with my auntie or something that happened with my grandpa or something that happened in our past or this trail of destruction that goes through our family through alcohol. But I have peace with God. I have peace with God. When men and women walk into my office, they should leave with peace. When men and women come into my presence, they should leave with peace. And the enemy is throwing God's people around because we don't understand the scriptures. Stop fighting with yourself. Stop fighting with your conscience. Stop fighting with your past. Stop fighting with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Capital L, capital J, capital C, boss. Through whom we have gained access. Say access. By faith. Say faith. Into this grace. Say grace. In which we now stand. Say stand. Stand. No, stand. 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 Lift your eyes up. Look up. You never look down for anyone. No human being. You never look down at the ground. Not for your shame, not for your past, not because somebody's stronger than you. You always stand and you always look up. You always put your shoulders back and you've got nothing to be ashamed about. The gospel has hit me. I've been credited with righteousness. I've got access into the throne room of God and I stand under grace. Not under law, not under sin, not under disqualification, not under... I stand under the grace of God. From the moment you get saved, you are under grace for the rest of your life. Lord God, I pray that no person who ever comes into this church will ever be buckled by the guilt and shame of sin or by the legalism of the law, Lord God, that says we never quite reach the standards that we're meant to live by. We fall short of them. Father, we have been credited with righteousness, and I pray, Lord God, that the position of every person theologically will be to stand. You might be, friends, right now in an economically in a position where you're about to go bankrupt. Your business is going down the tubes. That is your reality. I want to tell you what your spiritual reality is. You're standing in the presence of God under the grace of God. Your children might have gone wayward. Your children might have made bad choices. Your children might have run away. Your children might have happily messed up sexually. You're standing in the presence of God by the grace of God, according to Romans chapter 5. And I will fight for this and I will roar for this until everybody understands it. Let's close your eyes. The enemy's a liar. He's a robber. He's a deceiver. He's a thief. He wants to rob your peace, rob your joy, rob your righteousness. But God gives us abundantly. It says, how much more, 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 how much more. My sin is great, but Christ is greater. My sin is great, but Christ is greater. My disqualification is huge, but His qualification is bigger. My weakness is strong, but His strength is stronger. Jesus, tonight I pray that every man, woman, and child in this auditorium would leave understanding what it means to stand under the imputed righteousness of Christ. You did not die to waste people's time, Lord God. You died because You loved us enough to break the power of sin and shame over our lives. Shame will not haunt you. Shadows will not taunt you. The righteousness of Christ is enough to impute every single bone in your body, every single ounce, every single vein and vessel, every single DNA structure. The righteousness of Christ can impute it. And God says, in My sight, you are clean. You are clean. You are clean. You are clean. I don't know what you did last night, but tonight I tell you, in Christ, you are clean. Say, I'm clean. Say, I'm free. Say, I'm whole. Say, I'm loved. Say, I'm clean. Say, I'm free. Say, I'm whole. I am loved. Praise God. You may be seated, please. You're not getting very far. Sorry, Clinton. Fifty-three years old. If I said anything to you like I speak to my children, I'd say, turn News 24 off, take Romans chapter 5, get on your knees for the next week, and ask God to put it into your heart. Learn it off by heart, and ask Him to show you what it really means. It'll change the whole future of your family. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice. Say rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's future. Not only so, but we also rejoice. Say rejoice. We rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out. Say poured out. Poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How long is your list of people that you will die for? My list is very short, like properly short. In the Kruger Park, my wife said, if a lion attacked us, would you save me? I said, as long as you can keep up, my baby. As long as you can keep up. but my list of people I will die for is short. You say, but Pastor, you meant to lay down your life for me. Jesus did. Say this, while we were still sinners, He died for us. Since we are now justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more? Say, how much more? Being reconciled, shall we be saved through His life. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice. Say, rejoice. We rejoice in our position in Christ. We rejoice in our sufferings in Christ. And we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have reconciliation. Say, now. Say, now. Say now. We now have reconciliation. Your porn last night didn't unreconcile you. You now have reconciliation. Let me read this to you as a prayer, the scripture. It goes like this. Justified, faith, peace, Lord Jesus Christ, access, faith, grace, stand. Rejoice, hope, glory of God. Rejoice, character, poured out. Love, Holy Spirit, given us. Christ died. How much more? Rejoice now. Reconciliation. How much more? That's all you must remember. There are three things we rejoice in. We rejoice in our position in God. We have got access. We have got access. The whole of this last season, access denied. Can't go to sports, can't go to movies, can't go to shopping centers, can't go to things, but you can go to God. Access not denied. Access open. And it's access into grace. Always access into grace. Use it. Rejoice in the fact. And inside there you will find three things. You will find your past is taken care of. I have peace with God. You'll find your present is taken care of. I have access to God. And you'll find your future. I have hope in the glory of God is taken care of. And if you understand that, you start to live with deep security, even when you unfollowed on Facebook. The second thing we have to understand is we rejoice in our suffering. Listen to me very carefully. God will never punish you. He punished Jesus. So we have this unbelievable theological position. I have got grace. I have got imputed righteousness. I have got faith. I've got access into the presence of God. And now I have reconciliation. In the beginning, in the middle, he says, rejoice in your sufferings. Let me tell you again, God will never punish you. What are you saying, Rory? If you watched porn last night and you crashed your car today, it's not God. You're just being stupid. Don't put your behavior and your circumstance together. God will not punish you. He punished Jesus. So your bad behavior doesn't lead to God's punishment. Your bad behavior led to Jesus' punishment. But we are going to go through tough times. And you have to learn how to rejoice. And there are two particular. If you want to influence this world, you're going to have to suffer. Because the most influential man who ever lived, his name was Jesus Christ, and he suffered the most, and he influenced the world. And unless we suffer, we actually never learn the character that can change the world. And for all you Pretoria mummies, you're not meant to just give your kids a happy life. You're meant to give them an education in Christ. They weren't happy at Die Menlo Park, so we took them to Die Wilgers. And they weren't happy at Die Wilgers, so we took them to Die Gasfontein. And they weren't happy at Die Gasfontein, so we took them to Die Hoërskool. And then they weren't happy there, so we homeschooled them. Bunch of babies. Friends, you're meant to go through tough times so that character can develop. The heroes, and we've said this, the hero of Pretoria, there are a few heroes. For you old guys, for you young guys, you won't understand. But Nas Botha is like the president of Pretoria. You won't understand it, but he is. He never, ever got his shorts. He played with the same pair of shorts for his whole career. He didn't do one tackle, but my goodness, could he drop kick. They call him Skepskop Nas. And then there's another guy, a bit more relevant. His name is Victor Matfield. He's quite a good oak. And there's Piers Piss and a few of these guys. But then there's a guy called Mornay Steyn. 27 years old, he chose to suffer. And when everybody went home, he went onto Loftus-Versfeld and he kicked for the poles and he kicked for the poles and he kicked for the poles and he kicked for the poles. And then the whole series between the Lions and the Springs back in 2009 depended on a little 27-year-old called Mornay Steyn. And he stood up there and the whole of South Africa was watching him think, can he do it? He's already suffered. He's already given the late nights. He's persevered. That word perseverance, friends, means we make a set of choices based on hard times. COVID, friends, is not the thing to end the church. COVID is a gift that God has given to us to minister to us, to make us more like Jesus. It is not a misery. Stop. Yes. Stop being babies. I have got access to God. I have righteousness in Christ. I've been imputed with God's goodness. Friends, I can handle difficult times without throwing my toys out the cart. That word, friends, means I make a set of choices. If I gave you 20 kgs of gold and 20 liters of water, and I said to you, go on a journey, and we started the journey, and all of a sudden, we hit COVID, then we hit an economic crisis, we'd never have built this building. And you persevere, and you keep giving, and you keep trusting, and you keep paying, and you keep, and all of a sudden, we look and think, how did that happen? Through flipping hard work and a whole lot of choices. Instead of giving money there and increasing our cars and buying new cars and going overseas, we put money into a building. We persevered through the process. And 12 years later, friends, in the British Lions, they pull up this old guy called Mornay Steyn onto the field. How many of you who watch rugby know when he put the ball on the ground and he was about to kick, there was an incredible peace inside of our hearts because we know that Mornay Steyn has persevered. He has the character. He's 38 now, but he's got the character to kick the kick over, and he kicks the kick over. God is busy putting perseverance and character into his church so that we can change this nation. Stop speaking negatively and rejoice in your suffering. I watched this girl, beautiful, amazing American girl. She came here, she could be an American now, first world country. She came here to do missions in a very dark, horrible place. And Clint saw her, met her, married her, fell in love with her. I watched her go through an incredibly difficult time 3 months ago. There was a time when I think she could have just said to Clint, let's just get out of here. Let's go back to America. Let's go back to Durban. And I watched her persevere. And I watched her get before God. And I watched him shape her character. And I watched hope come into her heart. And 2 weeks ago, I heard her sing the best she's ever sung in this church. And I thought, that's Romans 5. That's Romans 5. I married a woman, 29 years now. She was here this morning. 29 years. Her father was murdered. She could have just chucked her toys out of the cot and said, you know what, God, I'm not going to. In this life, you will have trouble. But don't worry, I've overcome this life. In this world, you'll have trouble. Don't worry, I've overcome this world. My peace I give to you. Instead of being cross with God, she came and she asked God to save her. Asked God to forgive her. And when you got no dad, it's tough. And she had to pay for her own education. And she worked. She'd catch a bus in Durban to town. And from town, she used to catch a bus to her restaurant. And she raised the funds to pay for her own education. And character started to develop inside of her. And hope started to develop. And then she changed flats and she had to walk to university. She got mugged a few times. She used to trust God. But if you want a woman with character, go and meet my wife. You want somebody to calm everything down, go and meet my wife. Friends, you cannot bypass the suffering processes of God if you're going to count for God in the long run. Rejoice in your position. Rejoice in your suffering. And rejoice in your proximity to God. Say, I am reconciled now. Say, now. 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 If he died for me when I was still a sinner, how much more will he die for me or gift me or help me now that I'm his friend? Nothing can separate me from God, Romans 8 tells me. Nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. Nothing can separate me from God. Rejoice in our position. Rejoice in our pain. And rejoice in our proximity to God. And we will start to change this world. Little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. In Jesus' name, amen.